my dad asked me to preach Friday, and I thought about preaching about thankfulness or gratitude, but I felt the Holy Spirit whispering to me, and I felt him say, you need to build this first sermon on the rock, on Jesus Christ. And so today I want to have a conversation with you guys about what I believe about Jesus Christ and the Bible, various aspects of the Bible. And two reasons for that. One is because I know most of you guys, we've had these theological conversations, but a lot of you I don't know. We might have had one meal together. We might have, you know, hung out one time, but we haven't really got to have those conversations. So the second reason is because when we go verse by verse through the Bible at Calvary Chapel, we sometimes get into those subtopics like family, like marriage, and other issues, and we get away from Jesus Christ. So this is a good chance to get back to the basics. So I'm going to share 8 beliefs that I have with you guys that are foundational beliefs, and I think that we all should learn something from this today. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe in the Trinity. I believe that Jesus is God. I believe he created the universe in 6 days. I believe in the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. I believe that he was virgin born. I believe in salvation through faith in Christ. And I believe that he's coming back. And like I said, next time, if I get another opportunity to give a message, I might get on to one of those subtopics. But today I really want to have this conversation with you guys about what I believe about Jesus and these various topics. So let me first begin by saying I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Why do I believe this? By the Holy Spirit. You can't have an intellectual argument to convince you that the Bible is the Word of God.
But the Bible is written by man.
I hear that all the time. God used men. God used Moses. He used people like the prophets in the Old Testament. He used the apostles, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John. These were these core group of people who wrote the Bible. Yes, they were men, but every one of them was endorsed by Jesus Christ in the gospel. If you look at the miracle of the Bible, the preservation of the Bible over time, how Martin Luther and the printing press came along right at the same time, and Martin Luther translated the Bible into German, and by the 17th century, it was the number one book in the world. Just the miracles of the Bible. An estimated 2,500 prophecies are in the Bible, 2,000 of which are already fulfilled. Another reason is the Bible tells me so. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe in the Trinity. I believe that there are 3 forms of the same God. They're all one God, but they're 3 entities of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But they're all one God. Jesus was talking to his disciples in John chapter 14. You don't have to turn there. I'll be in and out of John. And he's talking to his disciples, and he says to them, he reveals, I am God. And in verse 7, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. So he's saying, I am God. But the disciples, it went in one ear, out the other. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And he's like, I just told you I'm the Father. He goes on to say, have you been with me so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say to me, show us the Father? What he's saying is that him and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Verse 10, he says, do you believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? Jesus says elsewhere, he says, I will live inside of you. And this is where you see the difference in the Trinity. You don't have a little miniature microscopic Jesus living on your heart. That's not what he meant. He meant, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference. That's where we see a difference. It's not a oneness doctrine. It's not one. There's three entities of the same God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The best picture I think you see in the Bible of the Trinity is at the baptism of Christ. Jesus was getting baptized, and when he came up, the Bible says the heavens opened up, and a voice came out from heaven and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." That voice was not Jesus up in heaven. That voice was the Father. So you see the Father, and then you see the dove descending onto Jesus Christ. So you have here the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's different characteristics of each. We'll start with Jesus. Jesus is the only bodily human form of God. Jesus is right now sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not on earth. He's not on Mars. He's not in a universe far away. He's at one place. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's confined to a body, yet he is omnipresent through the Father and the Son. Amen. Characteristics of the Father. If you go to the furthest galaxy in your mind and then go to the space beyond that and then light years beyond that, the Father's there. Jesus is not there. The Holy Spirit's not there, but the Father is there. But yet Jesus is there through the Holy Spirit. The Father is deadly. He's blinding. We can't really relate to the Father. We have to worship him in spirit. And in the book of Leviticus, they would tie a rope around the priest. And when they went into the holiest of holies, sometimes they would die and they'd have to pull them out because the presence of the Father, the Shekinah glory of God, is deadly. It's blinding. That's how it is. He's not human. He's worshipped in spirit. Characteristics of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit chooses to dwell on earth, not on Mars. He chooses to dwell on earth and in heaven. Those are the only places you see the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And his purpose is to knock on every door of every heart and invite Jesus Christ in. The Bible says he convicts you of your sin and then points you to Christ. So I believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus is God, which is contrary to the world's view. The world says he's just a good man. It says that he's understood. He did some good things, but he's not God. He was a prophet, but he was not God. Well, why would I then believe in Jesus? Well, he said, "I am God." Lots of times. He said it throughout the gospel. He said, John chapter 10, verse 30, he said, "I and my Father are one." And then the Jews took up, verse 31, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of these do you stone me?" The Jews answered, saying to him, "For a good work we don't stone you, for blasphemy, because you say, 'I am God.'" You being a man, make yourself God. He didn't deny it. He said, "I'm God." You can't have it both ways. You can't say Jesus is just a good moral teacher, he's a good prophet. Either Jesus is God or he's a liar because he said, "I'm God." And I don't think a liar could be God. I don't think a liar could be a good moral teacher, excuse me. This is what C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity. He said, which is a book, I'm trying to prevent anyone from saying this foolish thing that people often say, "I'm ready to accept Jesus as a good moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." That's the one thing that we must not say. A man who said these sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make a choice. Either this man and was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up as a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon like the Pharisees did. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. Amen. That's my choice. I don't know about you guys. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great moral teacher. He's not left that open to us, and he did not intend to. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. I believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Why do I believe that? Because he said it. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except by me. You can't come through Muhammad. You can't come through Buddha. You can't come through good works. You can't come through prayer. You can't come through dreams. Only through Jesus Christ. Well, that's not politically correct. Well, I didn't say it. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said it several times. So I believe Jesus is God. I believe in the six-day creation. I believe the universe was created in 6 days. Why do I believe that? By faith. You can have, again, you can have an intellectual argument, and I'll do a little bit of that here, but you have to choose faith in what the Word says is true, because, again, the Bible is the Word of God. Here's the truth. If you're an evolutionist and I'm a creationist, none of us were here 100 years ago. So by faith, we have to choose either way. Well, Darwin was here. Darwin wasn't here 200 years, 300 years ago. Is there scientific evidence for evolution? I studied evolution in college. I made all A's in biology, and I believe evolution is flawed. Just a few examples. They found some dinosaur bones a few years ago, and they cracked it open, and there was blood on the inside, and that blood was fresh. And the secular scientists saw this, and they were like, if dinosaurs were extinct 60 million years ago, how is there fresh blood in this? Without wanting to change their theory, they started to try to make sense of this without seeing. The Bible is very clear. The earth is a young earth. It was created in 6 days. If you look at the sun has been shrinking a little bit every year. It's like, according to science, if it keeps going at its current rate, it's going to, in a billion years or so, it's going to be out. So if the earth is 5 billion years old, the sun would have been kissing the earth 5 billion years ago at the rate that it's going down. Does that make sense? So if the sun's kissing the earth, how are we going to have life on the earth? It just doesn't make sense to me. Well, is there evidence for modern evolution? Do we see evolution happening before us today? No, we don't. Show me where there's a change of kinds in modern history. You can't do it. You listen to the highest professors at the universities, professors from UCLA. They say that, well, look at Darwin and the Galapagos Islands. Well, you see finches, different types of finches, but that's not a change of kinds. You cannot find a change of kinds in modern history. But Nathan, they have PhDs. Well, so do thousands of secular scientists. I could go on and on and on. We could have a whole sermon on the six-day creation, but you need to have faith to believe in the six-day creation. I'm not going to win you over by an intellectual argument. But by the way, you're having faith in evolution. If you need more of an intellectual argument, go to CalvaryChapelOfLafayette.org, click on Teachings, click on Teachings by Speaker, and then click on Keaton Holly's, it's gone. Crap. Keaton Holly, what was it called, David? Do you remember? It's a sermon he did on creation. He came here to Calvary Chapel about a year ago, and that's where I got that dinosaur bone argument. But he's very intellectual. He's got a master's degree in this stuff. So anyway, so I believe in a six-day creation. I believe in the pre-incarnate Christ. I see examples of the pre-incarnate Christ all throughout the Old Testament. One example that my dad gave last week was Jacob wrestling with God in the book of Genesis. And there's only one flesh form of God. Otherwise, you have two gods. But it says Jacob was wrestling with a man, the angel of the Lord. And this man is none other than Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 48, he's at the end of his life. and like my dad said last week, and he's giving a blessing to Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph. And he says, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all the long days of my life. And then he gives him another name, the angel, and get this, the angel that has redeemed me from all evil. Who's the angel that redeemed him from all evil? Jesus Christ. Jacob got it. He was looking forward to the cross just as we look back to the cross. And that's how salvation is. Jesus said that just as a serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That was in Numbers. That was way back before Jesus. And so we have to look at the cross from the future like Jacob looked forward to the cross from the past. And we see all sorts of examples of the pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament. We see Moses walking and talking with God in the burning bush. That's the pre-incarnate Christ. We see Adam and Eve walking and talking with God, man, the God-man, in the Garden of Eden. That's Jesus Christ. We see Abraham. Abraham's about to stab Isaac to death, and a hand grabs him. Where's the flesh hand form of God? That's Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, on this mount, I'm going to come back and provide a sacrifice. In other words, in a few thousand years, I'm going to come back here and die on the cross so you don't have to kill Isaac. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in the fire. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, there's one in there, he's different. He's like the Son of God. There's a fourth man, the Son of God. That's the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. So I believe in the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. I believe he was born of a virgin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. She was found with child by the Holy Spirit. J. Vernon McGee says, believing in the virgin birth does not save you, but if you don't believe in the virgin birth, you're not saved. So I agree with that 100%. And it was prophesied 700 years before in the book of Isaiah. It said, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel is God with us, God in the flesh. So I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in justification through Christ and Jesus Christ only. Today our main text is Romans chapter 3, if you guys want to turn there. And I would have had the slides up, but we had some issues. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 3, verse, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. Why not? Why can't we be justified by the law? What did the law say? The law say, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. But if you steal a pen, you're stealing. If you look at another woman with lust, she's hot. You've committed adultery. If you get angry with your brother without a cause, sorry, Eli, you've committed murder in your heart. That's Jesus. When Jesus came, he raised the bar. So we can't be justified by the law. That's what Paul's saying in Romans chapter 3. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Most of the world, like I said earlier, they try to get to heaven through good works, through Muhammad, through Buddha, through dreams, through prayers, all these different things. But Paul's saying here, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He didn't say that is in good works. He didn't say that is in Muhammad. He said Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, a payment by his blood. Jesus paid for our sins. And if we have faith, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, his foreknowledge, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Paul's saying that the cross covers all of our sins, past, present, and future. So the Old Testament saints, this is what he's saying here in context, the Old Testament saints looked forward like Jacob to the cross, and we look back from the future, excuse me. To demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation comes through repentance. That's the all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God part. It comes through trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the propitiation part. And it comes through receiving the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that if you don't drink the water, you will not be born again. And he said you must be born again to enter heaven. We get the Holy Spirit by trusting in the cross. We get to the cross by realizing we need the cross. That's repentance. He said, I'm coming back. And I believe he's coming back. Just a small summary as we conclude what I believe about the end times. I believe we're in this the end times right now. I believe the end times began as soon as Christ ascended back to heaven. You see, there's Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 there will be martyrs. Well, the first martyr was Stephen, and that was right after Jesus ascended. We had a martyr a few years ago. We had a woman at Columbine High, or young lady at Columbine High School, who stood up for Jesus and got shot. So you have martyrs in modern times as well. You see wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, all of that we see. That's the earth crying out for Jesus to come back and restore the creation. So I believe that we're in the end times right now. I believe there's a seven-year tribulation coming, but before that happens, I believe in the rapture of the church. In Jesus, it's very simple. Matthew chapter 24, great passage on the end times. Jesus makes it really clear. Two men are at the field. One's caught up. One's left behind. Very clear that the rapture happens after the end times. The tribulation begins. The first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation, the first half, there's going to be the rise of a one-world government led by the Antichrist, and they're going to create the mark of the beast. If you want to buy and sell goods, you have to take the mark of the beast. But we're not going to be here. We're going to be out of here. Second half, all hell breaks loose on the earth, and Jesus Christ is judging the earth from heaven with trumpets and seals that he's letting loose on the earth. There's going to be meteors and wars and nuclear bombs. It's going to be crazy. Then the world, just like Hitler did in the 1930s, the world's going to blame all their problems on the Jews, and they're going to riot. The entire world's going to rise up against Israel. There's going to be armies from the west, armies from the east, north, south. They're going to be surrounded. There's going to be armies of millions surrounding Israel, a hopeless situation. Only one person can stop him, and that's Jesus Christ. Christ is going to come back and crush the armies against Israel, and then he's going to set up a 1,000-year rule and reign on the earth. And he's going to set up governors around the world, so that's each one of you and me. And I'm going to be in Hawaii. My dad's going to be here in the swamps of South Louisiana. At the end of the 1,000 years, God's going to let Satan loose. Satan's going to try one more time to rebel against Christ, and God's going to squash him like the cockroach that he is. And then he's going to cast Satan and all his demons into the lake of fire and create the white throne judgment seat where he judges all humanity. He's going to resurrect the dead and judge all humanity for their sins. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So if I were you, I'd choose the gift over one sin, sending you to the lake of fire forever. The Christ is going to create, after that judgment, he's going to create the new heaven and the new earth, and that's going to last for all of eternity, and we will be with the Lord forever. That's what I believe. So my goal today was, as we conclude, was to create a foundation. If I get the opportunity to do future messages, I wanted to lay this foundation. This is what I believe. And so I believe that Jesus is our rock. So this should have been my first message. I think he told me that. I believe the Bible is the word of God, just to recap. I believe in the Trinity. I believe Jesus is God. I believe he created the universe in 6 days. I believe in the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. I believe he was virgin born. I believe in salvation only through faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe that he's coming back. And that's my message for you guys today. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you that you are coming back. Lord, thank you that we can have confidence in that. And Lord, that we really have nothing to worry about. During worship today, I was freaking out because of my dad. But Lord, I really don't have anything to worry about, because you're on your throne. You control all things, and you're our healer, and you're our redeemer, Lord. And we praise you for that. And we praise you for the word and what it teaches us, and that we can be confident in all of these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.